music, when I hear it, it's starting to be like when you start playing your Friday songs. I know it's Friday when you play Florida Georgia Line and all that fun stuff on Friday afternoons. I kind of start getting in the Friday weekend mode.
Right.
When you play Chicago, I'm starting to get in the Twins baseball Dick Bramer mode because I know that it's time to talk to Dick Bramer about Twins baseball because that's his song, right? That's his intro. That's like a baseball player who has the walk-up song, right?
Right.
This is Dick Bramer's walk-up song.
Exactly.
And, I like it.
And I think, Mike, if I'm not mistaken, the group Chicago was in the Bismarck performing last night.
Really? You know more about Bismarck, North Dakota than I do because I did not know that, Mr. Bramer. Wow.
Well, and I know that because I'm contemplating going to their concert in Minneapolis Saturday after the Twins-Tigers game.
Oh, perfect. Okay. And you should go to that because you're a big fan. So you should go to
I am a big fan, yes.
Fantastic. Hey, something that I don't think you or anybody else is a big fan of, by the way, is the baseball stadium in which you are right now. It is Tropicana Field, or the Trop, as we in the business call it. It is in, I think it's in St. Petersburg, technically. And it is the worst excuse, can we agree, the worst excuse for a baseball stadium remaining in the major leagues? Yes or no?
I would tend to, I don't know how to, either this or Oakland. Oakland's terrible. This place is indoors, and I don't know, you can probably hear, they've got some sort of music playing, and it brings back memories of the Metrodome, because all it is some echoey reverberation with a bass beat. You can't even tell what and we had that at the Metrodome all those years, so. Yeah, this isn't good, although we always felt that coming here, at least the seats here are angled toward the infield, unlike the Metrodome when they were angled to the 50-yard line. So it's got that going for it.
Well, I mean, in the Metrodome's case, why would you angle seats for a baseball field when they built it for the Vikings as a football field?
And precisely.
The Twins just had to live with it for the 20 years that they were in it, right?
Yeah, and of course, for years, 15 years of 16 years, whatever it's been that they've had baseball here. It used to be the one redeeming feature is you'd come in here and beat up on the Rays, but now they're maybe one of the best sports operations around in any sport, and they've got this awful ballpark to play in, and the fans don't show up in very large numbers, and generally teams that come here, not just the Twins, have a tough time beating them here.
Well, the Rays, as you said, Dick, they're good, and they've been good for quite a while now, and the manager, Joe Maddon, is very good, and the organization is well-run. But is it just that Florida is a place where nobody is from, or so many people move there to retire and die that they don't latch on to the Rays or the Marlins or anybody else in Florida, or is there something else going on?
Well, that's what you mentioned is they're all contributing factors. I had somebody tell me who's been in baseball his whole life when they decided to expand here, both in Miami and here, that neither team would survive. Now, the Marlins they've actually won a couple of World Series, and they've got a new ballpark. But here it's different. There's, you know, if you want to draw comparisons, I guess, Tampa, St. Pete, like Minneapolis and St. Paul, but there's a great economic disparity between the two cities that neighbor one another. Most of the money in this area is in Tampa, and the ballpark is in St. Petersburg, and it really is kind of tough to get here if you're in Tampa. It's not an easy commute at all, and so the consensus is if they do get a new ballpark here, it won't be in St. Petersburg. It'll be in Tampa where the money is.
Well, I've never been inside the stadium. I've only seen it from the outside, but I recall having to go over that huge bridge over the causeway to get over to St. Petersburg. And we're talking geography of Florida in North Dakota today, so people are going, what the heck are you talking about? But the point is that it's not easy to get to, and it's St. Petersburg ain't exactly Naples or South Beach, I think is our point here.
So. Exactly. And if you're driving by here, you're flying over the area, just look for something that looks like a squash beer can, and that's Tropicana Field.
If you have a question or comment about the Twins for Dick Bramer, please do give us a call. He loves to take your phone calls and text messages. You can call us at 237-5948 or 800-880-5346, or maybe an easier way is to text us at 35270. Please include the word Mike, so I know it is directed at me with your questions for Dick Bramer. Dick, the Twins are going to have a new player in the field and in the lineup tonight. Sam Fuld, the guy that they picked up from the Athletics, I believe, is going to start in center field, isn't he, in place of Aaron Hicks tonight?
Yes, he's starting in center field tonight, yep.
So what do we know about this guy? Is this guy going to be the answer, or is it trying to plug a hole until somebody else comes along.
Well, yeah, I wish that the Twins' problems were so simply solved as getting a journeyman outfielder. For comparison's sake, he's a Darren Mastroianni type of outfielder, but he plays hard, he covers the ground, he runs, can hit a little bit. He's not a franchise turner around by any means, or, you know, he wouldn't be on in his fourth organization, fifth organization, whatever it is. A nice pickup for the Twins. Darren Mastroianni just wasn't getting any substantial playing time because he wasn't hitting. This guy can probably hit a little bit better than Darren could. So in essence, the Twins swapped out Mastroianni for Fold. The Twins are still exhibiting a lot of patience with Aaron Hicks, and they're hoping that he can find things, get things turned around at the plate. But for tonight anyway, with the right-hander going, the left-hand hitting Fold is in the starting lineup.
And you kind of answered my next question, Dick, but does this serve notice to Aaron Hicks that he better get his act together and start hitting the ball and doing the things he needs to do? And might he be demoted, or do the Twins not have enough options just like last year in center field that he's going to stick around? What's Aaron Hicks' status?
Well, I think that, as I said on TV last night, the next couple of weeks are going to be critical for Aaron Hicks. I think he needs to hit. He needs to play with a little more energy. And if that happens, there really aren't any good options at this point. Byron Buxton is still a week or 2 weeks away from playing his first double-A game because he's been hurt. But down the road, you know, if Buxton starts playing at double-A and if he dominates as he did Class A ball, it wouldn't surprise me at this point that Buxton would get the jump past triple-A from double-A to the big league if Hicks continues to struggle. Basically, what the Twins have seen from Hicks this year is no different than what they saw last year, and that's not good for Aaron Hicks.
How disappointing is that to the organization? Because I think they looked at Hicks as being somebody that they could depend on to be a solid guy for several years. He was never going to be that Byron Buxton, Miguel Sano type prospect, but I thought they were pretty high on him. Are they surprised? Are they disappointed? Are they all of the above?
Yeah, they're both, and the best way to summarize it, Mike, is if they weren't confident that Aaron Hicks could handle this up here, they would not have traded both Ben Revere and Denard's fan in the same offseason. Yeah. They were that sure of themselves, and it just has not worked out. Now, we're talking about a guy who doesn't have 500 at-bats up here yet, so no one's ready to pull the plug on it or anything like that, but he needs to show some progress and some aptitude that he's, catching on to what it's going to take to succeed up here. And so far this year, it's just been more of the same.
A text message question comes in for you, Dick. It says, Mike, would you ask Dick how long of a leash will Florimone and Hicks have? And I think you've answered the Aaron Hicks question enough already, but how about Florimone? And as I noticed the lineup today, I see Eduardo Escobar playing shortstop and batting eighth for the Twins. So that might answer the question about Florimone as well.
Yeah, I don't. That's just the manager getting everybody in the lineup. But I think they're concerned about Florimone, who just seemed behind when the season started because he was out for a couple weeks with his appendicitis, and he really hasn't caught up yet to where he should be by the last week or so of April. Again, there aren't really a whole lot of options at this point. The Twins picked up, or they've got the shortstop of the future, Danny Santana, really hasn't dominated down in AAA. So I think it is what it is for a little while yet, in the hopes, again, that Florimone will get some things. I think the thing that the Twins fans should understand, Florimone has never been a hitter at any level of professional baseball. So I don't know that you should expect him to suddenly become a 270, 280 hitter. The Twins are hoping that they can turn him into a 250 hitter and then live with his average bat, but a really good glove in the field.
237-5948 or 800-880-5346 are our phone numbers. .351 on the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO. Programming note, Minnesota State Moorhead named a new president today, Ann Blackhurst. She will join the program. Late word that she will join the program at 4:35. So if you're a Dragon alum or anybody else, interested in Dragonland over there, Ann Blackhurst, will join us via the phone at 4:35. For now, we have Dick Bramer on. He's the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Twins on Fox Sports North in Tampa to cover that game tonight. Dick, email question comes in for you regarding Joe Mauer, and you can imagine about what it says if it pertains to Joe Mauer, but I'll read it to you. It says, Mike and Dick, how long will the Twins fans have to tolerate the Mauer tax and the fact his contract has ruined the Twins for a decade?
Okay.
You go. You go first.
Well, Joe obviously has not put together the type of seasons since he had his MVP year and signed the contract that he did right beforehand. It was probably unrealistic to expect him to do that, but the contract is what it is. The biggest concern, I think, right now for Joe isn't, you know, is he going to hit 320 with 80 runs batted in, 35 doubles, and 10 home runs? It's the high number of strikeouts. That is of some concern. This was a guy who, you know, hit in the middle of a lineup and was one of the best contact hitters in the game. And it started last year and it's continued this year. We're just not used to seeing the strikeouts pile up like they have for Joe. So we're going to wait and see whether that's a continuing problem or whether it's just an early season issue that he's dealing with. But we're really not accustomed to seeing him not put the ball in play. Having said that, I fully expect he's going to hit 300. In terms of runs batted in, he's at the mercy of the guys hitting in front of him. And right now, the 8, 9, and 1 guys, I think Dozier's got the highest batting average at 221. So there aren't a whole lot of runs to be driven in right now.
Is there any talk behind the scenes of Mauer's bat being slow or anything like that that would be alarming to Twins fans or more importantly, to management and Joe Mauer himself?
Well, I don't think so. But again, you know, we're talking about the proverbial small sample size at this point. They didn't see anything that was alarming in spring training. You know, I think we have to allow for the fact that he is, as much as we'd like him to be superhuman, he is human. And if it is just an early season slump, some really good hitters are off to slow starts. And the hope is that that's the case. People who know about these things a lot more than I do don't seem to be concerned here. You know, we're going to ride it out here and see where things are around Memorial Day. And if he's already picked up, 100 strikeouts by Memorial Day and he's still hitting 250, then there'll be a lot of concern.
I think earlier I said Eduardo Escobar playing shortstop for the Twins, and that's the lineup that Lavelle Neal had posted at the Star Tribune. Is that correct, or is it Eduardo Nunez who's at shortstop for the Twins?
No, it's Eduardo Escobar. Eduardo Nunez was up for one game during the split doubleheader at the end of the homestand, and he went back to Rochester and tweaked his oblique a little bit, so he hasn't played the last few days. He's the player that the Twins acquired from the Yankees to help fortify the middle infield, and I would suspect that if they decide that Pedro Florimón is not going to be able to hit much better than he has, that they will probably go in that direction. But right now, Nunez has got a little bit of a ding, and so he's not able to play.
Another text message comes in for you, Dick. It says, Mike, could you ask Dick if he thinks the Sam Fold pickup means the injury to Willingham is more serious than the Twins are letting on?
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's just a matter of getting a player that the Twins have liked and admired and an opportunity to bring him into the organization. Regarding Willingham, it looks like it's going to be at least 2 weeks yet before he's back, maybe a little bit sooner for Oswaldo Arcia, and that's when I think the Twins are going to have to make some decisions about the outfield situation. You know, the Twins, if they win tonight, they're back to 500. They've scored a lot of runs, and the reason they've done that is because Jason Kubel and Chris Colabello have really stepped up. Imagine, though, where this team would be with the two big power threats, Willingham and Arcia, out, if those two guys hadn't done what they've done.
Well, and, you know, it bears saying, and you pointed it out, that Kubel has been a very good pickup for the Twins, and that was one of the guys who, in spring training and even before, fans and media were saying, my God, they're picking up Jason Kubel, how desperate are they? But when he's healthy, he can still hit, and he's hitting the ball, and it's been a good pickup for the Twins.
He's in his early 30s, and he was hurt last year. And, you know, people were talking about the first 2 years, Albert Pujols was in Anaheim. You know, what terrible seasons he had and all that. Well, now look what he's doing now that he's healthy. doesn't make any difference whether you're a marginal player or a superstar. If you're not healthy, you can't perform. And Kubel had a really good year in Arizona the first year, and he was hurt most of last year. And so of all the signings in the American League Central, for what they're paying, Jason, the Kubel signing might be one of the best signings of the year.
As always, Dick, great stuff. Thanks for coming on. Call a great game tonight. We'll talk next week, okay?
We'll do her again next week.
Thank you, sir. Dick Bramer. He